Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review The Empty Man. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to talk about what we've been watching. And there's only really one thing to talk about this week. So,
oh my God. Zill versus King, right?
Yeah.
Talk about a film, right?
Versus, Godzilla versus Kong. Is that what it's called? Is that the official title? Or is it Godzilla versus King Kong? Dawn of Justice League? I don't know.
I'm not going to say what the official title is until we get the Snyder Cut. Because this can't be the
That's the other thing we've got to do.
I mean, if you want to go watch something and feel like if you miss Shakespeare, you should watch this, right?
Yeah.
Because like any of the good King Kong or Godzilla movies, it's about the humans and the emotions. For example, like the character in the movie named Hugo. Name a human character in the movie.
Alexander Sarsgaard.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I assume he was just playing himself. He was just the doctor, right?
Yeah. I mean, I saw him trying to be like, "Oh, I'm kind of dumb and bumbling," and like, you can't fool us, cutie. You're a handsome Skarsgård, aren't you?
Yep, absolutely. Who else is in this movie?
Bobby Brown, right?
Yep, not related to Bobby Brown. Just a different, different Brown altogether.
What's his name? He's really funny. Oh, yeah. Steven Root's in it. I mean, not Steven. I'm looking at the wrong cast. Sorry, guys.
I was going to say, you're getting the wrong cast.
What's his name? Dennison, what's his name? The Kiwi from, like, Deadpool.
Yeah. That kid is hilarious, yeah. It's a little...
Oh, it's just Godzilla versus Kong, by the way.
Yes, there it is. There it is.
Because he can't be king because they need to fight for superiority for reasons.
Yeah.
Rebecca Hall's in it.
Rebecca Hall, that's a person that was in it.
Brian Henry, right? Brian Tyree Henry. Who is like the only kind of funny part of the movie.
He's the podcaster guy?
Yeah. It's like, and then you got all the other people. Isaac Gonzalez was like, oh, this will be fun, right? What's her name from Baby Driver? And then she doesn't do anything. She just dies, essentially.
Did she die?
Yeah, Kong sees the plane because they're trying to shoot Kong in the back to get out. And he turns and just like crushes the plane in his hand.
Oh, yeah, she did die.
Spoiler. Not that it matters, but...
So the real meat on the bone here is the fighting of the Godzilla versus Kong is what we're saying, right?
Yeah, it does not matter. You got Kyle Chandler. I mean, what does he do in the movie? I mean, you know what he does, but does he do anything? No.
He just plays a very stern father for like two scenes.
But yeah. And then Lance Reddick is in it too, just to be in it for like 3 seconds.
Right. Why was he in this? Oh my God.
He served no purpose other than being like, oh fuck yeah, it's Lance Reddick.
Yeah. I'm down. He's a good actor. Really good actor.
But yeah. No. If you're looking for like a plot, you went to the wrong movie. I heard people complaining about, but why are they fighting? I was like, oh, God.
Did you see the meme with, what did it say? the, oh my God, hold on. Give me like a second.
Bum, bum.
More than a second are passing by. This is not going to be as funny now because it is taking too long. And maybe.
And then that's when we got sued by Jeopardy.
You remember Godzilla and Kong are just like at each other's face and screaming at each other? Somebody captured it. Save Martha.
Yeah, that's it.
How do you know that name? Yeah,
because I had the same idea too. I was like, why didn't fucking Godzilla kill him?
I gotta give Guillermo Martinez on Twitter the shout out on that. That's the first place I saw it. That was funny.
Save Martha.
Save Martha. So yeah, you know, I think aside from the fact that none of the human characters matter or the story. I really enjoyed that. I think they finally did a really good job with Kong because he plays like an underdog. He's the underdog of the series. Yeah. And without spoiling it, there is definitely a winner in this fight, a clear winner, a dominant species, yes. A king of monsters, if you will. And I just like what they did with Kong. Of course, like he's sort of like the, if... Who said this? Dino De Laurentiis said this in the 70s, where if you hurt the big ape, people will cry. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like he has, so people naturally would be more attentive to like an actual animal that exists getting hurt. So of course he plays like the perfect sort of hero, I guess, because so much of the movie's about him.
Good fucking chunk of it. Yes, this is just him.
Mm-hmm. So,
like, it should have been King Kong featuring Godzilla.
Special appearances by Godzilla. Yeah, and I think they did a really good job of presenting Godzilla as a menace. You know what I mean? As a true menace, as a guy who, if he shows up, he's gonna definitely like rip some shit up. He's gonna destroy everything in his path. Which they did a really cool job of.
Because they set up like Godzilla is more concerned about just being like the apex, right? Like the fucking alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of that's just like so he doesn't get like, you know, attacked while he's just trying to chill in the ocean.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think I heard one complaint, like, how come there wasn't like all this character development for Godzilla? And I think it's just because, like you were saying, like, King Kong being like a huge, essentially a gorilla, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, gorillas express emotion. We're very aware of how these animals work and how closely they are to humans. So of course we're going to give this guy more of a, like, he just wanted to go home. That was his whole thing.
You get the emotional attachment to the creature and stuff like that easier than, than Godzilla.
Than Godzilla. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
but I like it. I like it because King Kong does not fucking back down.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's a good movie. It's a good movie if you like just like monster action. Everything else is a waste of time.
It's all a creature feature.
Yep.
100%. Yeah.
Yep.
Because people were like, it didn't turn my brain off from, you know, wanting to understand other things. And that's why I didn't like it. I was like, it's a fucking creature feature film. Who cares?
Yeah. So
they got to put humans in it or else it'd just be a CGI fest. And then they would have to pay for a full CGI fest.
Did they ever talk about Mothra? Wasn't she now the queen of the monsters? Mothra's the queen.
I thought so, but didn't Mothra die?
I don't remember.
I could be wrong, but I felt like she died saving Godzilla.
She helped them, but I don't remember that movie. I don't remember. I watched it last year.
You don't remember that movie? Those movies are so good. Sarcasm. Sorry.
Yeah.
Before we started the podcast, ladies and gentlemen, Rolando had to remind me that there was actually two Godzilla movies before this one. I, in my head, had merged the previous one with the Bryan Cranston one.
Yeah.
And had no idea there were two separate movies, even though I saw them both in theaters because I'm an idiot for these movies.
Yeah, The only thing I remember about that Godzilla movie with Bryan Cranston was the fact that it gave like scale to Godzilla, and it really put you in like what it grounded it in, like, what if this happens kind of deal, like this sort of, what if Godzilla actually showed up at a city, what would happen? And it kind of Edwards does a really good job to kind of put you in there in a POV kind of situation. That was the only thing I remember that movie. The rest of it, I don't remember at all.
But. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Other than, like, I was at that point, I was waiting for John Boyega to come in and, you know, connect his brain to a Big Mac suit.
Yeah.
But I guess they do that in this one, or they attempt to.
This is like, there's like a side spinoff that Pacific, this is a, like, Pacific Rim 3. A little yeah,
because yeah. I was very confused about how that dude could sit in the skull and make it a supercomputer, and I was like, this doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It doesn't need to. In reality, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't need matter.
To. Yeah.
Ultimately, they make it a part of the story, and very quickly make just, sure it doesn't matter.
Yeah, just accept it and just let's move on to the next setup. Let's set up for the next fight. You know, yeah. It's pretty much the majority of the movie. But
I mean, I was surprised they didn't give Julian Dennison more to say, you know.
Yeah,
I love that Kiwi kid.
Good casting there on his part. Good cast.
Yeah. You love Deadpool. Did you ever watch Hunt for the Wilder People or the Wilder People?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I saw it. I forgot why, but I ended up watching it, and I ended up showing it to my fiance too. She's like, "You gotta watch this. This is so funny."
Oh, Sam Neill. Let's do this.
Yeah,
but anyway, there's that movie. I mean, I'm not going to say it's very good, but would I watch it again? If it's like Rampage, right? If it's on TV or if it's like on like now streaming, I'm probably going to watch it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, it is. It's an easy movie just to put on and just leave in the background.
Yeah, it's not like a 4 hour plus thing, right?
No.
No. You know, it's cool. Snyder.
Yeah. Cool. Do you want to add anything else, or should we go to our ad break?
Oh, we can go to our ad break. And holy shit, do I feel like ignorant to have never heard of this guy before? And, yeah. You know, I didn't know there was people like this on Earth that have this special skill, but damn, this guy slaps. So let's give it up to our sponsor.
You may remember him from the Blowtops, but Jimmy Gooseneck, the world's greatest bottle blower, has got a surprise for you. Today and today only, for a low price of $49.99, you too can own all of Jimmy Gooseneck's hit classics, including his ever-famous version of 99 Bottles. You'll get to hear some of his earlier, sexier side with his classic, Baby, Don't Bottle It Up For Me. You'll even get some rare treats, such as his attempt at world music. You'll even get some of his hard rock classics, like Breaking Bottles, How About I Knock Your Block Off, Son? Listen to that man shred. So you better call or mail in or fax today, because you don't want to miss out on this opportunity for only $49.99. plus tax and shipping. And he'll throw in his soon-to-be international number one hit of the world. Don't be square, baby. It's just my trapped music. Call 1-800-BEST-OF-GOOSENECK.
All right, and we're back. Man, that is some good old timey music, isn't it?
Dude, I am stoked to hear this. Like, is that like a trap song that he wrote? Or, oof.
Just,
wow.
Originator there. What a connoisseur there.
I mean, I heard at least like 100 babies being made while I was listening to that.
I think I was made to this music. I don't, I gotta ask. Yeah.
Oh man.
Hopefully we can hear more from Gooseneck.
Yeah. Jimmy Gooseneck. Hell of a name.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, anyway.
All right, John.
I mean, I do think it's funny that there's a bit of bottle blowing in this. I wonder how he felt about it. He's probably like, oh my God.
These I didn't make that connection. There's some bottle blowing in our ad and our review.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure he's just like, these fucking kids didn't even try to practice doing this. They just probably did a one take thing of it.
Yeah. He makes it sound so easy. Like he just one take guy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You know, some people are like in awe of people playing the piano, and it's like, I don't know, man. You listen to this guy fucking blowing a bottle. Imagine what you can do in a jug, maybe. I don't know.
Huh, yeah.
But yeah, leads us to what? The Empty Man.
The Empty Man. But John, are you ready to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please. Oh, yes, I definitely am. For a movie called The Empty Man. Not to be confused with Bye Bye Man.
Is that 5 words? Hold on.
Yeah. Count them. Well, I got 6 today. We'll see how many of them are good.
All right.
So coming in at number 6. White people find new cult.
Yeah.
You know, because that seems to be a big plot point, I think. Coming in at number 5, drugged dude forgets what's real. Because you could blame it on that, too. This guy takes a lot of psycho drugs. I don't know what they
are. But did he? We'll have to. Did he?
Coming in at number 4, Charon absolutely hates bottle blowers. And if people aren't aware of who Charon is, I'm probably fucking butchering that. He's a guy that steers the boat in the River of Styx. Because that's who I assumed that guy was.
The demon
in this movie.
Okay, yeah.
Because of the whole bridge thing. I don't know, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 3. Oh, and I'm going to leave this up to you. Would you consider PSAs one word, or should I just say ads?
Fuck. That's a good one. No. I mean, you would. That is a good question.
I guess it is 3 words.
It is technically 3 words, yeah.
All right, I'll use ads and get all this hate mail. Coming in at number 3, anti-smoking ads get dark. Because that's what I took away from this. Is like, I better not fucking smoke because I'll die.
Yeah, you will.
Coming in at number 2, sensitive haircut helps soulless saps. Because I will say, one of the key members of this movie that only shows up for about 15 minutes in the movie has a very sensitive haircut. But I think that was on purpose. And coming in at number 1, aspiring mumble rappers keep dying.
Yep.
And that's what I took away from that, too.
Excellent. Excellent. Aw, excellent. Quick. So, John, what did you, for our first thoughts, what did you think of The Empty Man?
Damn, I think I really liked it. Is the movie perfect? Nah. But I really enjoyed this movie. What a... My idea of this film, it felt like the dude, like one of the guys that who either made like The Ring or The Grudge, right, tried to make a I Know What You Did Last Summer movie and then went back to doing The Ring or The Grudge. Because it was like for a lot of the movie, I was like, what is this movie trying to be, right? Because the beginning was like, oh, that was cool. And then you're in America. Because so, what? It starts off, you're in, oh my God, I forgot where they went.
To India, wasn't it? Or
Sure. yeah. Anyway, they're like up in like... up in the mountains, right? it's very snowy. Like these four people. What that dude that's married to Mamet? What's his face? the guy from like Girls and he's been in other shit. I don't know why I can't remember anything else he's been in.
What?
The guy with the big ears.
he's Adam getting, Driver.
He's to, no, he's married to Mamet. What's Mamet's daughter? Evan Janekiet.
Nailed it. He played Greg, right?
Yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was also Toad in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. It starts off with him, his girlfriend... some other dude that for some reason starts to hear random shit, right? Like he's hearing some sort of thing going on and he walks into a hole on top of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Which in my head, I was like, oh, he fell off the mountain. And then, and then he's like, oh, that was going to be one of my five word things. I forgot what it was, but it was like big skeleton guy hates bottle blowers. he's like sitting kind of like Indian style, like he's kind of meditating, but he's just like staring at like this big carcass of a skeleton that has like, I'm assuming it's wings, right? Instead of hands. It looks like hands, but it's like wings wrapped around its chest, sort of.
Yeah.
But just bones.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like doing the mumble rap thing a little bit, right? He's doing like the whole like,
yeah.
And the girl's dude found him, right? And he's trying to whisper to him like, "If you touch me, you'll die."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this part of the movie happens. I had a hard time trying to connect. I'm assuming this is the only real part of the movie.
No. Well, we can get into it in spoilers, but we'll dig into all of that. I think I have an idea what's going on or what that first 20 minutes was supposed to mean. Actually, they're pretty clear about it at the end. We'll dig into it.
Oh, okay.
At the end,
okay.
For sure.
That's what I mean. I think I know what you're talking about. So if they were talking about like. All of it was always set up, I guess, right?
More or less, yeah.
More or less, right. Okay.
What did you think about it being based on a comic book? Did you know that going in?
No, I didn't. I mean, I saw something about a graphic novel, perhaps, but I didn't really dive too much into that.
Yeah.
Because luckily, this is like a movie. Like, after it was done, I was like, oh, man. Like, I have a lot of questions, but the more, like, I try to answer these questions, the more I realize... that kind of doesn't matter. Like, it's like,
So
like they do a good job. I don't know.
Yeah. Like when I saw it, I was like, oh my, like this isn't Marvel's intro. This isn't DC's. It's a Boom Studios, like a smaller independent, comic publisher. And the guy who wrote it is Colin Bunn. And that's not really surprising that he wrote it. He's in comics. He's kind of known as the horror guy, which is like, I don't really want to limit him, but he's written a lot of like stuff like this. He's the like kind of the horror go-to guy in comics, whether his independent stuff or like sometimes he's given like mainstream stuff in Marvel and DC. Anytime he works there, he kind of leans, his stuff leans on the horror side. So,
oh, I mean, what thing that was his did he write?
He did. I should have looked it up. There's a series that I really, really like that they were going to turn into TV series that I read that I will completely vouch for. Which I don't have in front of me. Which I should have looked up.
But he doesn't have a whole lot of producing credits right now, obviously.
No, no, he's mainly known for comics. Let's see. I think this may have been his first like movie that he got produced. Harrow County. I will vouch for that. That's a really good horror series, kind of gothic horror series.
Oh, okay, cool.
Produced by Dark Horse. Excellent, excellent book.
I gotta check it out, because I'll be honest, I feel like this is one of those movies, like, you probably should watch the whole thing before you make any sort of assumptions or, you know. And I really enjoyed the whole idea. The whole concept was really cool.
Yeah, and I think this is fun. Definitely so,
like,
a movie.
This shit's like this.
Yeah, I think it's definitely like a studio horror movie, and that's not really like a knock. I mean, it got dumped into theaters last year during COVID, right, during the pandemic and stuff like that. And I kind of understand why it was dumped, because it's not really like an easy movie to sell to the mass audience. Because the trailer I saw, it's cut like Candyman, basically. Like, oh, if you say his name 5 times, he'll appear. You know what I mean? And it has like all the kids and everything. His kids are like up in front, and you kind of see, like, you assume as a detective. But I think it's much, like, it's much more ambitious, like, much more serious and an ambitious movie. That tries to, like, definitely play it straight. It's not trying to be, like, self-referential to, like, or, like, winking to the audience. It tries to build out a mythology, which is kind of where I think where Colin Bunn's influence is. He does that incredibly well in all his books. And, you know, in reality, I really applaud this movie's ambitiousness. Like, it really has a ton of things going on, Lovecraftian things going on. You know, I would like to talk, you know, in spoilers and everything.
It's got so many different vibes, like you're saying. A big one for me was, like, it had, like, a very Babadook thing going on.
Right, yeah.
And again, it's just, like, sections of the movie feel very different from each other. Like, the beginning feels very different to what you get introduced to right after the title card, which is normal, right? Like, cold open is usually just like, you know, well, let me give you like a little appetizer, right? But then that appetizer almost had nothing to do with the movie, and then it became like one of the most important parts of the movie.
Right. They kind of, when it came back. And I feel like even though this movie was probably close to 2 hours and 30 minutes, I still think this could have been a movie that would have worked better, maybe as a TV series, maybe like a couple more hours of this, or like a Netflix series. And again, that's not a knock. I think the movie is like incredibly cinematic, but I feel like it's a movie that has, it's trying to tell a big story. It's not trying to tell like just a self-contained little 2 hour little thing. I think at times it hampers it. I feel like sometimes they have to rush towards the end.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? To kind of get to a conclusion, when I feel like if you had, like, I don't know, maybe 6 hours to really tell your entire story and really kind of flesh it out at every point so things are more clear, and we were able to, like, easily jump through these different types of genres that they hit, you know what I mean? Right. Psychological horror, you know, Lovecraftian horror, and it would have, I think, been a bit more... series would have been easier to breathe into, you know what I mean? Instead of kind of just moving from, you know, place to place to place. But
yeah, because if you had given me like more of a half hour to like closer to an hour of that last little chapter, because I feel like the last leg of the film is very short. I would have really enjoyed the shit out of that, because it was such a like mind fuck section, right? Oh, which I really appreciate that too. It felt like it was falling into like a lot of old tropes on purpose, right? Like you said, it's a studio horror film. But you know, these things where it's like, oh, dude, I fucking figured this shit out already. And then it's like, yeah, you're supposed to. And I really fucking dug that. It was my favorite part of like, oh, my God.
I thought this movie was just going to be about the teenagers and they were just going to pick off the teenager. I thought this was just the... I'm only watching one trailer before we decided to review this. I just assumed, okay, this is just going to be like a kind of a Candyman story, maybe set in high school. But boy, that was only like maybe the first, that was about 15 minutes of
a very small snippet. In fact, they only kill one kid on camera, I think.
Exactly, yeah. And it's right? And what's funny is it plays out like any horror movie, that scene, which we can get into. And I think it there's even an homage in that scene to like Psycho, the famous bathroom murder scene. It kind of shot very like a homage to it, I thought. So, but no, and then this movie just like is off going. It's off the rails. It just like, it wants to cover everything. It just starts hitting all these other genres. Which was pretty fantastic. I think this movie had, it's definitely like a horror story. That's kind of what I take in from it. It's a story. It's a horror story that's sort of confined in a horror movie. So
right, yeah. I get what you're saying though. If this had like the same treatment like, Haunting of Hill House had, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would have been great. Would you say that? That one section where our hero, the more I think about it, goes underneath the bridge. Was that supposed to be like a homage to like the Lost Boys almost? Like it was such a weird,
yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say that's a spoiler, but he finds some creepy stuff.
So I didn't catch this till, later, because I had to like I don't know, it's a whole thing. I had to like put the captions on at some point, and I noticed when he says his name is James La Sombra, and La Sombra is Spanish for shadow.
Oh,
which kind of gives an idea of who he's dealing with at the end there, what his destiny will be. It's kind of like an homage. His name is like, his La Sombra is like hidden in there. If you tie it to the end, which we could talk about in spoilers.
Yeah.
This movie definitely works on a lot of different levels. Like it's a really like smooth, surreal, psychological horror story. I mean, that's the only way I can kind of define it.
Yeah. I mean, and again, there's like certain moments in the movie, but I think movie has to movie. Or maybe not. I don't know. Where... when the ending's revealed, and then there's like sections of the movie that I'm a little bit confused about.
Mm-hmm.
But again, maybe none of it ever happened. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies.
Cool. Do you want to just like, you want to have any last words on first thoughts, or do you want to just get into spoilers?
No, let's just dive into it.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
He's the empty man, right?
Yeah, he's the empty man. Which I kind of called halfway through the movie, but I didn't expect it to have such a dramatic twist to reveal that he's the empty man.
Yeah.
Because there's moments where he's somewhere and he's out of sight, and it makes it seem like he's in the shadows just like lurking and witnessing. But truthfully, it could have been all these people conjuring them each time.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like
yeah.
When he hurt himself, the only reason he knew exactly where to look a couple of times is because he is there, right?
That's one of the like crazy fucked up Lovecraftian time travel things where he's like, we see a scene where he stumbles upon the cult for the empty man, and he's like working his way through he kind of breaks his way through the lower levels of the building, and he sees them like doing some sort of group therapy, some sort of training school thing situation. And he's at the top of the thing, but they're like, oh, we hear you. Are you here? Right.
Yeah. And he's trying to keep quiet, like, oh no, I fucked this up. But again, like I'm saying, maybe that was intentional. Maybe he was drawn to that room somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I think like memories too. He has like all these implanted memories. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, that's like super spoiler, but
No, yeah, we're Spoiler away.
So he keeps like being drawn to these areas, and then it almost seems like, oh shit, better keep quiet, because I'm like, you know, I'm the reason these people think that there's something here, but he is the thing that they're calling.
Exactly. That was like, yeah. Oh my, that scene just like, because I figured that would eventually, I don't know who it was, but eventually I think we would see somebody was there, because he did like peek over the about like the little like ledge balcony situation and nobody was there. And then the fact that it played out later that it was actually, he was there at two different times.
Yeah.
Mind blown. Mind blown there.
There's also that scene where he finds the camp that they all go to like, you know, I guess understand what was the name of the cult, like Pendonix or Penda.
Yeah. Let me look it up.
Pendadix.
Pendadix. Yeah.
I want to say Pentonix, maybe. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah.
And he goes to like their camp where I think essentially is the brainwashing camp, right? Mm-hmm.
It was, yeah.
And there's a bunch of creepy things that happen, like, oh, this like toy bear moves on its own. And in my head, I was like, God, that's going to be like the kid's bear or something. So I kept like, in my head, you know how you try to make yourself feel smart. So you think you figured it out, like, oh, this is a kid's bear. Mm-hmm. And his wife and son had died in a car accident the same day he was at a wake or something,
a funeral,
or after the funeral, right? He's like at their house, and he's comforting the wife of the person that just died, and he's friends with the daughter. That's like what sets up the whole thing, is he's friends with the daughter, and to comfort her, they end up like fucking, and while that's happening, his wife and kid are dying in a car accident.
They
so he can't like forgive himself for that.
Yeah. So then I think at the very end, the daughter says that she kind of orchestrated everything from that moment on. Yeah.
So that's why, because in the grand scheme of things, this guy's only existed for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And he just like, because already has like these things implanted where he just keeps repeating the same thing. Like, well, I'm from San Francisco, so I know how cults work. Like he keeps saying
the same lines. Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like a joke, but the more he says it, the more you're like, okay, this is like, why is he being annoying about it?
Mm-hmm.
And then, cause that's all he knows. And then I thought like, oh, you know, I figured out the whole wife and kid thing. I was like, dude, I'm calling her right now. And like, he was like having sex with this, young lady's mother while his wife and kid were dying. I was like, bam. But then at the end, when the daughter is like, oh yeah, I wrote all that into you because we created you so you can be our next empty man. I was like, what the fuck?
So the idea of the empty man is he's the sort of bridge for whatever this dark entity is, right? He needs to live inside of a body, right? A human body. And that's who in the first 20 minutes, that's who the hiker is
That was my other question. Is it like, was he the only person that heard and he was like susceptible to the empty man because he wanted to die, right? Like, and then...
I think he chose him because, so I read somewhere, I'm not sure where, but he was the only one that wanted to cross that really old rickety bridge. There's like this whole motif of like bridges and like different, everything is sort of referential to bridges and in the movie. And that's one of the things is that he crossed it and he willingly crossed it. He's like, he's the one that's like, oh, be careful. Like, he's like way ahead of everybody else. And sort of, he's the one who ends up hearing, I guess, the little, I don't know, the talking little chatter or whatever. And then he ends up falling and he ends up being sort of the empty man for now until the cult that sort of grows around it decides to switch him to a new empty man. And he chose...
Because he's dying, right? Yeah.
He's dying, yeah. And so he chooses our protagonist... what was his name? James.
Who again, I guess, was like, and that this is where it gets all like mind fucky too, is so this young lady, what was her name? She goes by Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, and that's sensitive haircut for anybody that's, that's what I was referencing in the 5-word plot summary. Yeah. Because she's got like a very specific look and she's got a very specific way of talking.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like she's suicidal and wants to run away.
Mm-hmm.
She creates this person, our protagonist, along with a bunch of other people. And I think her whole like gibberish dialogue at the beginning with them kind of helps explain how he came to be. Like if enough people believe that this guy exists, then he does exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's moments like the cops talking to him, right? But maybe the cops never existed too. I don't know. Maybe those are just memories being implanted at the same time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that. He's definitely not you can't trust him as a protagonist because once we start getting into like, he's like unraveling the story, we realize that like he's being influenced. He's already been subjugated to a lot of the sort of brainwashing or whatever grooming that they do for the empty man. So we don't know right. that yet, but now it's kind of hard to make, you know, if anything was going on, you know, what was going on really with him, you know, what was real, right. what wasn't real, stuff like that. That was a good point. Definitely.
Cause I'm inclined to believe, obviously the cult knew he was around. I want to say Stephen Root was real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But maybe he wasn't savvy to the fact that Amanda was creating another empty man.
Possibly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, you're right. I mean, that's definitely, that whole situation felt like a whole like swipe at Scientology, wasn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Not like overt. It wasn't trying to make like a statement about it, but definitely you could see the imagery, certain imagery of it like was definitely taken from there. from that religion.
And I also like the moments that are supposed to be like scary, which they are. I mean, there's plenty of them, but like the one moment where he's at the camp and he watches the camp people, like they're like a bunch of them doing like a ring around the rosies. I forgot what they're called. It's almost like a maypole thing, right? Except mm-hmm. they're just worshiping something, and then like a big bright light shoots into the sky, and everything gets all like trippy for him for a second.
Yeah.
And then they all like ultimately turn and look at him with the lights flickering on and off, and then they run after him.
Yeah.
And they attack him. And the more I thought about that, the more I was like, all this was designed to make him afraid of everything.
Mm-hmm. There's like three stages right? of it. Three stages of before he meets the empty man.
Right, yeah. And I was like, damn.
That scene was terrifying. That was a really...
yes.
Pretty crazy,
man. That end scene was fucking cool too. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like all those people in the hospital, and they all like drop on their knees at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, oh my god, these poor actors. But like they're all dropping on their knees at the same time. And he's just walking out, and he's like the empty man now. And I don't know. It's like,
yeah. So he ends up shooting the guy, who had the empty man in him, and then. At first I was like, why would he shoot him? And it's like, oh, he's gonna...
Because he's already the empty man.
He's already the empty man, yeah. And then then they all drop to their knees. They did a really cool thing with like shadows and lights and stuff like that. Like as a sort of a surrealness. Like you're mentioning like the scene where they're at the camp, all the lights turn off and it just becomes dark. Yeah. And they're just, you have like maybe like, I don't know, 50, 100 people just like standing, staring at you. And I like that he's just like, fuck this. He's just he starts just running away.
That's my
away.
Favorite line of the movie. Yes. No, fuck this. He just starts running. There's a lot of really cool what the fuck moments. Like, you know, you kind of figure out he's probably the next empty man when he keeps finding like old files of him being a part of this cult and he doesn't remember any of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like that weird memory where he's like naked on a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Which I got to complain. It's like they'll show like women's like breasts and like vagina bush all the time and butts, but like they won't let this guy hang dong. I was like, come on.
He did not have a dong in the photo. Yeah, he did not.
No, it was blurred out.
It was.
Like, why?
He is the empty man, but for different reasons. Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't blurred out. You're right. It was just, that's what it looks like. It's he's like, oh my God, what's his name? Severus Snape. In Dogma.
Yeah, yeah, he's fucking...
Alan Rickman in
Alan
Dogma.
Alan Rickman Dogma, yeah. He's the Ken doll. He's that.
Yeah, that's what he is. He's like really, really nice, lean body and just nothing, nothing down there.
Yeah.
That's what makes him the empty man.
It's like, hey, look, you're going to be a dark deity and you're going to live for like 500 years, but you're not going to have a dog. No! I reject
like,
it.
Why can't I be a rapey demon? Like, no.
That's how none of this works.
No, sorry. The best you get is you get to walk in on, you know, an underage high school girl naked and make herself stab herself in the face with a pair of shears.
Are the shears big? it's like yeah.
They're okay. They're okay sized.
None of it sounds good.
It's like, oh man, but why do we even need me if you're just going to show up randomly in different places? See, that was one of the scenes that confused me, because the empty man shows up for the one kid and a group of kids when Amanda conjures the empty man.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, she had to have done this already. I'm guessing she just called it to like sacrifice all the other kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's definitely had some ability already, because she was already talking all weird, and then she had all those kids on the bridge, and she told them about the empty man. They did the whole like ritual with him, and then they had the scene with him already talking to the kids, whispering in the kids' ears, and then they're all like strung up, hung under the bridge.
They're all dead.
They're all dead,
I was surprised what's that kid from It?
Yeah, he was in it. He was... in there for a hot second.
He was like the one guy that was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it now. So I thought he was a part of the cult too.
Mm.
But I think he was one of the five that were whoever that was hanging.
Mm.
But yeah, the other girl, like the one girl that was protesting the whole thing, but still ultimately ended up doing the ritual, I guess. Mm.
Yeah.
She talks to the cop too, right?
Yeah.
And then, or not the cop, he's like an ex-detective. You know, allegedly, none of this is true, but she's like talking to him, and then they decide to have a cigarette each, and then that's where I'm like, you know, this is an anti-smoking movie. So they have like a cigarette each.
Yeah.
And then it was pointed out to me that it's really funny that they do that and they don't bother to like drive away from the school. They're just like, let's sit here right now, you know, because like the DP and the first AD were like, we don't have time for this shit. Let's just shoot it right here. Who cares? So they're smoking cigarettes in a car with like the windows barely rolled down in front of a school.
Mm-hmm.
And then she runs away because she starts to see things. And then she gets attacked and killed, and he's unaware of it, but you get to see how she dies.
She's one of the few that actually died horror movie style. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm guessing she was one of the real... I'm guessing the kids in her were real.
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
And then there's other... like, the cop's... detective buddy? The chubby white guy? Was like, oh, I remember you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? And then, like, he doesn't really talk to him again. Like, I noticed, like, he doesn't say anything the rest of the movie. He's there.
He just talks to the other detective, Villers, the other guy, the older cop. And they have two interactions or something, you know? So.
Yeah. So I want to say maybe we missed him, but maybe he was like lurking around in the background of the cult. Not the main cop, but like the friend, the
psychic
buddy.
I just took it as like they were just setting up that he was a cop at some point. That's why he's, you know, he has this investigating techniques or whatever to it, so they can kind of run him, you know, kind of be the one that leads the investigation on his own. So there's not that disbelievability that he's like not a detective and has no training and he's able to like figure all this stuff out. But I think that was just kind of just put there in like place. That was,
oh, okay. I think I just really wanted some other connection there for some reason.
Okay.
Because the movie's so like, it feels like everything's important almost.
Yeah, you know, this definitely feels like a movie you got to rewatch because I feel like you'll catch stuff a second or third time. You know what I mean?
God, yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, the movie's pretty long, too. Yeah, there's a lot that happens.
Cool. Did you want to have any last words?
No, I mean, I really dug this movie. I liked it a lot.
Okay. How many sexy spooky bones do you give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. Oh, okay. I will give it 8.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, that feels about right too. I'll give it an 8. Just an 8 sexy spooky bones.
Nice.
All right. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.